Now, if you are listening at home, you're one of those people that's got a next-door neighbour or even a neighbour two doors up or whatever with a dog that barks constantly day and sometimes through the night. But the owners go to work and they haven't got a clue sometimes what's going on. I'm astounded by the patience of some people because they just endure it week after week, month after month, year after year because they're embarrassed to say anything about it. I don't know why. Have a listen to this. This is a letter to the editor from Ian Fisher Bentley Park a couple of days ago, Cairns Post. It reads here, if it was the Cairns Regional Council's aim to deter complaints being made about excessive dog barking, it has succeeded. Just ask any disillusioned ratepayer who has made a complaint. Council stats reveal that in 2019-20 there were 1,257 barking complaints. That's obviously a big figure, but that's without all the people that just endure endless irritation. Monitoring packages were sent to each complainant. Of those packages, 77 were returned, which resulted in no compliance notices or infringements issued. It's a fair bet the statistics for the 2021 period will be similar. Before a complaint is investigated, a barking diary in the form of a statutory declaration has to be completed over a two-week period. The diary is submitted to the council along with a second statutory declaration indicating that the complainant is prepared to go to court if required. The bylaws are such that before investigating a barking complaint, the council also requires three complainants to submit barking diaries, which include the two statutory declarations. Without two other complainants, nothing happens, and the dogs go on barking. Other Queensland councils require only one complainant without the inconvenience of a barking diary endorsed as a statutory declaration, as well as a second statutory declaration dealing with attending court. One can only hope that the council will amend the barking bylaws to bring it into line with other major councils in Fisher-Bentley Park. Look, I know I've had this discussion in the past with Catherine Zeiger. Cathy is the representative of Division 3, and she's very patient from time to time. She picks up the phone and says, yes, let's talk about this matter. Hello, Cathy.
Good morning, John.
I bet you couldn't wait when you heard I was on the line again.
Look, patience is definitely not a good virtue of mine. I can't stand barking dogs, I've got to tell you.
Well, thank you. Neither can lots of people, and they say it's just too hard to get it attended to.
Oh, look, I felt bad. I had a new neighbour move in, and when he was checking out the property, you know the first thing I asked him? Do you have a dog?
Oh, good on you.
Yeah. Because he said, no, do you? And I said, no, we'll get on just fine. I've got Budgie. But I agree, John. It is so frustrating. And in some cases, because if you've got neighbours that care and you've got a good relationship with your neighbours, I don't know about you, but if someone came over, if I did have a dog and they said, Cathy, your dog's barking all day, I would be distressed.
Yeah.
And I would do everything I possibly could. I would increase the walking. I would, look, if necessary, go get a barking collar. You know? Or do whatever you've got to do, because having a good relationship with your neighbours is the most important thing, and I'm sure so many people agree. But unfortunately, we don't all have good neighbours, and we have people that seem to over-identify with their pet, and when you say your dog's barking, they feel like it's a personal affront.
Yeah.
And some get quite violent. It's horrible, John.
Now, Cathy, I shouldn't ask you this. I should ask a vet, but barking collars, do they work?
Yes, look, I was a vet nurse for 10 years, and I remember that seeing even a few debarking operations, which I think are illegal now, but they do, because they distract the dog. I mean, if the dog is not walked and it's suffering from behavioural problems because of neglect, you know, it's still going to have a bit of a bark. But no, it does. So there's citronella oil, then there's that slight shock, but usually they'll get the idea. You can also engage neighbours and say, look, you know, citronella oil's brilliant. But look, at the end of the day, if it's ingrained and their dog's not getting attention, it's not being walked, all that type of thing, it's going to keep barking.
Mm.
And there's lots of animal behaviourists. A lot of the officers will come and help the person with the barking dog to improve it.
Mm.
But if people don't want help, John, it's like it is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah. The other thing I've noticed is one, probably three or four houses away from me, but it's constant all through the day and you think, oh, well, the owner's obviously at work. But then it goes into the night when the owner's obviously at home and he or she couldn't give a damn. And I think, what about the next door neighbours or the people over the back fence? How do they endure it day after day, night after night? It's a big, loud dog.
I don't get it. And I know that some people just hate conflict and I get that. But then there's other people that actually feel intimidated by the neighbours. And there are some people, you know, that have got out of control dogs that are very intimidating, and they threaten them. And I could tell you some horror stories that I've had and tried to assist people, you know. But it's just so challenging with that state legislation of you've got to have every, you know, T crossed and I dotted, and you need other people to say it's barking. And I get frustrated because I'm like, well, hang on, if the dog's barking, why isn't anyone else saying it's barking?
That's it.
You know, and it's obviously barking.
Now, Terry James said there's some equipment you can have and you take it out and you record it and whatever. Does that still apply? Yeah.
Look, I'm not too sure. I haven't heard
the
officer.
Check it out,
you know,
Kathy, because he said
definitely.
There is something you take it home and you have it so many hours and it records the volume the dog's barking at or whatever. That used to be the case anyway, but there's no mention of it in someone.
No, I'll definitely. I'll do that and let you know and see if there's anything you can do there. But really, it's. I mean, you can. The officers will take action, but you do need support and evidence. And like they always say to me, if we go to court and we're going to take someone's dog off them because they're just completely not doing the right thing, we've got to be able to prove everything.
Well, Ian Fisher says in this letter, other Queensland councils require only one complainant without the inconvenience of a barking diary endorsed as a statutory declaration as well as a second statutory declaration dealing with attending court. One can only hope that the council will amend the barking bylaw to bring it into line with other major councils.
Yeah, see, I was under the impression that this is state law, you know, that we have to abide by, and I think you would need quite a bit of evidence for people's dogs to be removed. I know the officers will go and attend. They'll drop in a letter saying, you know, there's a complaint, but then people get all aggressive to their neighbours and go, who's dobbed me in? And I just wish people would just chill out, take a step back and go, I'm sorry my dog's barking. It's causing you grief. Let me see what I can do to fix that. I don't get why they take it so personally.
There you go. Anyway, it's a letter from Ian Fisher from last Tuesday's Cairns Post. Don't go away. Just quickly, the council's animal management supervisor, Tina Martin, said it's danger time for pet owners after a prolonged period of rain because timber palings became loose and soil soft, making ideal conditions for a greater sleep. I have never thought about heavy rain for an extended period of time letting dogs out on the loose because the palings fall off.
I know. Well, they dig a hole or they do whatever they do, which is, you know, why it's so important. That's why we've got this chipping thing at the moment. So we all know that you can put a chip in your dog or your cat's neck, and when it gets out, every vet will scan it, and, of course, the pound will scan it. So it's a perfect way of keeping track of your animal. You've got to make sure, obviously, that you update your details if you do move.
Yeah.
But, look, it's an absolute bargain. We've got it at three different destination, three different sites. On the 15th of May at Cannon Park Raceway from 9:30 to 1:30, you can come with your dog or your cat, please keep the cat in a cage, and chip them. And $20 each. That's an absolute bargain. So, you know, usually if you do it at the vet, they charge you the consult fee and the whole deal. No, we'll chip them. They're out at Revisa Park on the 29th, but they're only taking dogs out there. I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
And same with the 12th of June out at Smithfield Library, so your dog can be on a leash at all these places going and get chipped for $20. So, yeah, if they get out, you'll get your dog straight back.
Wonderful, Kathy. If you could actually find out a bit more.
I will look into that, John.
That letter from Ian Fisher at Bentley Park says it all, I think, for a whole lot of people.
Yeah, I feel this frustration. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's just not okay.
Good on you, Kath. Very interesting indeed. She's the Division 3 representative, Cairns Council, Kathy Zeiger.